Fab Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have a jam-packed show today, and we have, of course, our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. But I love doing the stream show because there's so much going on here in the middle of the day. All of our content up on sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Todd Heap is going to be with us in studio today. Former ASU great. Actually, should go back. Former Mesa Mountain View great. They're looking for a coach. He's not interested. It's fine. I asked him about that a couple weeks ago. Former Sun Devil great. Ravens Ring of Honor. Cardinal tight end for a cup of coffee or so. But it's a local kid. I want his view. I call him a kid. I sound like I'm an old man. I want Todd's view on everything going on in the playoffs and also Vontaze Burfict and just some things in general around the NFL. Todd Heap will join us live in studio here in about 10 minutes. Jake Plummer comes on board with us via Skype. As always, Jake the Snake from his home outside of Boulder, Colorado, former Sun Devil legend and Cardinal quarterback, Pac-12 network analyst as well. We'll talk with Jake the Snake. I want to talk to him about Carson Palmer getting too geeked up. Bruce Arians talked about that earlier this week. And is there anything to that? And then Jimmy Vaccaro will join us, 40-year Vegas bookmaker, the wisest of the wise guys in Vegas. It's funny how we have all these great guests that roll through, and I'll go places, and they're like, what's Vaccaro like? What's Peter King like? Okay? Vaccaro's just been setting odds for 40 years. He's just this dude in Vegas that gets it done, that Musburger refers to during the Rose Bowl, and anybody who's followed the NFL or sports knows about Jimmy Vaccaro. So, well, Jimmy with us as well. Some things on my mind today in the world of sports, and I guess it's all playoffs. Although there's a really cool Jim Harbaugh story I want to get to here in a minute on recruiting, that Harbaugh is doing something completely out of the blue. And I may ask Todd Heap about this. The Cardinals are a touchdown favorite. That seems like an awfully big number. It feels to me like the Okafor loss, people are talking about that. I do believe that there's enough depth there, that there's some guys that have been bugging Bruce Arians all season long, saying, come on, guys, give me a chance. So I'm not that concerned about the depth there at that spot. Yeah, it's a setback. There's no question about it. But a guy like Kareem Martin, there's some others that I think can jump on in there. So the game itself, beating the same team twice in a span of 3 weeks, especially when you drill the team the first time. I want to talk to Todd about that here in a couple of minutes, and Jake Plummer as well. How difficult is that? I saw the Lawrence Phillips story yesterday, and I just shook my head. Lawrence Phillips was a train wreck from the minute that he walked in at Nebraska, other than he could carry the football and make big plays. But there were always things around Lawrence Phillips. You know it. I know it. If you followed sports, like Eric, you're thinking a 30 for 30 on Lawrence Phillips.
Yeah, that would be pretty heartbreaking to watch, because ESPN's College Game Day already did a little feature on his rise and fall. But yeah, this was before the news that came down a couple days ago or yesterday. It's just it's sad.
I was out at the
there's
Open.
No other way to put it. It's sad and depressing.
We were allowed yesterday to play TPC Scottsdale. When I say we were allowed, it's because I'm no good at golf. I'm just not good. I'm 6'8". There's too much of me that can get messed up, and I still enjoy going out there. And, of course, they said, Brad, come on out and play in Prelude of the Waste Management Open. And we'll put you on 16 to start with. To start with. So I walk into this cathedral, and, of course, I'm no good. And I bounce one off the side of the bleachers. It got a great roll. You know, it's one of those where you're screaming at the ball, come on, ball, kick, kick, kick. And it kicked. So it wasn't as bad as it looked.
It's never where it starts. It's where it finishes. Remember that.
That's right.
Golf isn't always a beautiful sport.
No, it's not, especially when I'm playing. So the poor groundskeeper, he sees us hackers walk out there. And then the third hole, my phone blows up. Lawrence Phillips dead. Lawrence Phillips dead. Lawrence Phillips dead. And you go into that story a little bit deeper. And he was sentenced to 31 years in prison for domestic violence and assault. He was accused of killing his cellmate in the fall of last year, and he was only 40 years of age. But when you talk about a talented running back, I remember when he was with the Rams, and you know it was all about Nebraska, but his NFL career, he just bounced. That was tough. Brian Colangelo's name is in the news cycle today. So here the Suns are. Robert can't get out of his own way with the team. You know, they're at the point now where they're starting to finally say, let's tank, let's, and they're not going to say it publicly. But the other night, they didn't have Brandon Knight. They didn't have Alex Len. They got drilled by 25 at Indiana. And I don't want them to just to finish with the 13th pick in the draft. I've seen enough of the 13th pick in the draft. Philadelphia is much further ahead in their rebuilding than the Suns. So I see Brian Colangelo's name, who, oh, by the way, won General Manager of the Year when he was here in Phoenix. He was Executive of the Year with the Suns. And then he went to Toronto and was Executive of the Year. He's been sitting around on the sidelines for the last 3 years. And yet Robert Sarver did not want to reach out to him. So Brian is in the mix potentially to be the new general manager of the Brooklyn Nets. And that caught my eye. ASU basketball is playing tonight, as is U of A, and both of them have not gotten off to great starts. U of A is, for their standards, they've got already a couple losses in conference play. They have the Washington schools in. Bobby Hurley has got some U of A people nervous. That's my view on this. Hurley, the other day, where was I? I was at the championship game. And some of the U of A people were there, and they came up, oh, Hurley acted like a spoiled little kid when we beat you guys. And I'm like, I didn't go to ASU. I have no dog in the fight, but you guys are wrong here. Hurley was just putting up some fight in a program that hasn't had any fight. Don't you guys want to see a little bit of passion and stand up for yourselves? Oh, well, he's going to get this reputation with the officials. That may be true with some of the certain guys. He can't control that. I think there's a little bit of nervousness because I'm hearing in the recruiting cycles here in our state on the high school level of some kids that are starting to look over to Tempe rather than looking at Tucson. We'll see about that. And lastly, in this A segment, then we'll get to Todd Heap. My favorite story in a long, long time on the recruiting cycle. Follow me on this. And it involves Jim Harbaugh. Of course it involves Jim Harbaugh. So Quinn Nordin is the number one ranked kicker in the class of 2016. He's committed to play for Penn State and James Franklin, but Jim Harbaugh is in the open period of recruiting starting tomorrow night. So guess what Jim Harbaugh has decided to do? Harbaugh is going to go to Rockford, Michigan and have a sleepover with this kid. Nordin said that he, when the recruiting dead period ends, that Harbaugh is going to arrive at his home the very second he's allowed at 12:01 a.m. He's going to be at my house at 12:01. That's when it's legal for him to be at my house. He said we can watch a movie, see how well we get, and he said we would sleep over after that. I was in tears laughing when he said that. He said the next day, if my parents didn't want me to miss school, he'd go to every class with me and go to lunch with me. He told me if I had a 6'3" piece of carpet for him to sleep on, that would be enough. I said, we have guest rooms. And he said, tell you what, I'll just sleep on the floor in your room. Now, it's not legal for Harbaugh to drive the kid to school. This is how the NCAA, I mean, just, that's why they have this thing that's thicker than the Bible and the Quran and anything, just all added up into one. Like, what do you mean he can't drive the kid to school?
Wait, so what position is he? He's got a quarterback, right, or a wide receiver,
he's Todd
or safety?
Heap, man. He's a tight end. He's a defensive. No, he's a kicker.
He's a kicker.
He's a kicker that Harbaugh wants to sleep on the floor and a piece of carpet next to him to recruit him.
Well, you know, Brad, I know we haven't had a chance to talk about this, but all the preseason top 25s are out, and Michigan's a top five team next year. It's funny how that works, huh?
It's funny how that
Harbaugh
works.
Comes in, they win 10 games, completely changes the program around, and now he's sleeping on the floor at this kid's house trying to get this kicker to flip from Penn State to Michigan.
I'm going to sleep on the floor at your house, and you're a kicker. Rick Neuheisel was telling a great story. I listen to Rick's show over on Sirius, and I'm a fan of Rick, and he's always very affable in dealing with us. Rick was talking about how you can only make one official visit to a kid's house. So what he did when he was coaching in college is he would call the kid after the official visit, like 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, when he's out on the recruiting trail, and he would tell the kid, hey, I'm going to drive by your house here in about 20 seconds. When you hear the horn honk, that's me. So he would do that, and he would honk the horn, and the kids would be thrilled. Well, guess what? The NCAA came down on him as that's an infraction. How is that an infraction? He's honking a horn. But, you know, what lengths do they go to? I love this story. It doesn't get much better than that. The kicker gets it. Todd Heap is next. ASU great, Ravens ring of honor, local kid made good in a big way. He'll join us next in studio on the playoffs and much, much more. I'll get some recruiting stories out of Todd and then Jake Plummer and Jimmy Vaccaro. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now the pride of Mountain View High School at one point in time. Now he's just a Valley guy. He's in the post part of his NFL career. That would be Todd Heap, former Sun Devil great, who is nice enough to join us here in studio. Here's Todd Heap for a few minutes. Thank you for driving up. You look great. Could you play today if you got a phone call?
I could give you a few snaps, probably in the red zone, but other than that, I'll probably tear a hamstring.
Really? You don't look svelte.
No, I feel good. I actually made it out fairly okay.
Yeah.
Ended with that injury in Arizona.
Right.
But, I feel pretty good. I feel like, I ended it where I wanted to be, and I made it out fairly healthy.
How many surgeries?
Just two surgeries.
Okay. And any lingering NFL feeling of concussion, joints, any of that stuff?
You worry about concussions. I've had too many to count.
Really?
So I worry about that down the road. I don't see the effects currently, but I worry about it down the road. You know, how's it going to affect things 10, 20 years from now?
Mm.
Just because I've seen a lot of stories. I've seen a lot of guys. I've seen them respond to a lot of hits.
See the movie?
I have not seen the movie yet. I do want to go see it, though.
Do you?
Yeah, I do want to see it.
Some guys have told me, nah, Brad, I don't want to know.
No, I think I'm one of those guys that wants to know. Because I would do it all over again in a heartbeat. I loved every second of it. But I think the more information they have, the better decisions you can make. And so I would have wanted to know earlier in my career what was going on. I could have made better decisions.
As you and I are sitting here today, Todd, what would you tell the 21-year-old Todd Heap?
I would tell him to grow up. No, I mean, there's – you look back on your career and you think – you know, I look back where I was mentally. Physically, I feel like I could do anything mm-hmm. at that age. And I really feel like I could have, you know.
I remember watching you throw guys around on the basketball court. You'd
yeah.
walk off the field and then go play for Coach Ernst and just there's the bouncer.
But mentally, that's the development that you need, especially at a young age. You know, your head is in so many different places. Especially early in your NFL career, you get drafted. I was drafted in the first round. You have these visions of grandeur, which are great to have. You want to be the best and you want to believe in yourself to be the best. But the way you handle yourself, the way you deal with it, the way you deal with success, the way you deal with failure, all of those things, you know, you look back on with a different perspective, especially after you have kids, especially after you're raising your kids, teaching them, mm-hmm. you know, how to handle their situations. You look back on how you handled yourself, and there's a little bit different perspective. You wish maybe I could have grown up a little bit faster.
How did you handle failure? It's easy to handle success. You say you look back and handle failure differently or adversity differently. There's two different things there. Tell me about handling failure differently as a pro player.
Well, I mean, it was hard. I mean, I went from a place in high school we didn't lose, you know. ASU got a little taste of it. But the NFL, it's different. You're getting paid. And there's more pressure. Everybody's watching you.
Mm-hmm.
There was times where you go home and don't want to leave the house. You know, there's mm-hmm. times where you have that feeling. I'd never let it overtake me. But at the same time, you got to understand that, you know, there's more to life than football. And I think I did learn that from a young period in my NFL career.
From who? Anybody on your team?
I think it was more just my upbringing and my family.
You went back
friends,
to your roots.
Friends keeping you grounded.
Yep.
Being around great, good people and having a lot of good teammates, that veteran guys that had been through it, you could talk to. And I had a lot of those guys in my locker room in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. You look at the Cardinals game on Saturday night. Beating the same team twice in a span of 3-4 weeks, how difficult is that?
It's very difficult. It's a mental trap what they're walking into. So they have to prepare just as hard mentally. It's not going to be the same game that they played a couple weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at Aaron Rodgers that's coming off of some wins with some confidence here. And so you know, that's a dangerous player right there. He's as talented as any quarterback in the NFL. Some of their receivers are, you know, picking up a little bit. You see Jones getting some catches, and you're always worried about Cobb and the way they've been using him, especially last week.
Putting him in the backfield some. A little
and
different.
If they get their running game going, that's going to be a whole different story with, mm-hmm. with Eddie Lacy. So, and he's a tough guy to bring down, and they've got a couple other guys they're putting in there as well. So I see it being a lot more difficult to come in, and you have to mentally prepare for that because there's going to be ups and downs, especially in the playoffs.
It's been a lot talked about, Todd, of Carson Palmer and his lack of postseason experience, and it's been a long time. Bruce Arians referred to it earlier this week of having to sit on him some. Do you buy into this geek stuff or not? Is this just
something to fill time
this week?
With Carson Palmer, I don't buy into it because I've seen him for years and years since USC, and I've never played against him twice a year when he was in Cincinnati.
Sure.
He's too level-headed. I've seen him off the field. He can have fun and loosen up, but on the field, he's too level-headed. His game is one of, you know, precision and accuracy. So I don't see a guy that's gets geeked up like that having that much precision and accuracy on a consistent basis. And I just don't see him as that. I'd never worry about Carson Palmer getting overexcited for a football game.
If you were in Bruce Arians' offense, what kind of numbers would you have put up? I mean, you're in the ring of honor with the Ravens.
I would have had fun. I would have just loved to play with Carson Palmer, you know, or a quarterback of his stature. Ever since I watched him in Cincinnati, I mean, he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks to play the game, you know, even with all these guys that are out there setting, you know, with all these big numbers. He's had some unfortunate situations outside of that, but if you keep Carson Palmer upright in the pocket, he's as accurate as anybody out there, and he always has been. It's just been a matter of keeping him upright and keeping him healthy. You know, he had that injury with his knee that set him back a little bit, but you get him in an offense with an offensive line, with a coordinator, with a coach that can put him in the position to make plays, he's as good as anybody out there. Mm-hmm. And I could tell that from a young stage in his career. Just watching him warm up when we'd play him in Cincinnati. I mean, he was pinpoint accuracy. It was fun to watch, just in warm-ups.
What do you make out of the other games this weekend?
Oh, there's so many things going on. I mean, you go back to last week's games, and there's so many good storylines, you know.
There is the bad storyline of Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah, we can talk about that as well.
Or maybe you have something there, but let me first just thumbnail real quick. Seattle, Carolina, who do you like?
I just don't see Seattle beating Carolina. I do think they have an advantage that they played last week. I think that gives them advantage and confidence and low continuity running into this game.
Rhythm. Playing a rhythm.
Yeah, you get in a rhythm, and that's kind of how they have been the second half of the season, or the last so many games of the season. They've gotten in a rhythm. You know, you see Wilson and Baldwin going off. I mean, mm-hmm. he made some unbelievable plays in this past game, and I was happy that it turned out the way it did because, being a Cardinals guy, I want those two teams to beat up on each other as much as possible.
I got you. And over in the AFC side? Think Kansas City is a shot at New England?
I don't see it turning out well for Kansas City. New England, they're just kind of a juggernaut when they get in the playoffs. And there's only a few teams that have had any type of success, let alone winning games. I'm just talking about success against them in the playoffs, keeping games close.
Roethlisberger has that shoulder injury in Pittsburgh.
I worry about Roethlisberger. Because the way he came down, and if they say it's an AC sprain, that's a lot of pain for an arm motion. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had numerous AC sprains in my career. Could never think about throwing a football with one of those. So,
turn around and hand it off and hope for the best.
Yeah, and I think they can limit the offense toward the end of the last drive. Pittsburgh was dinking and dunking. You know, there was only a couple throws where he put it down the field and Vontaze gave him gifts.
So let's get into Vontaze. We have about 3 minutes left in the segment. So Vontaze and what he did the other night. Now, you've lined up, been on the field against him. do you have to have a little voice inside of you saying this guy is going to do anything and everything? Look out. Did it surprise you what he did the other night? I mean, wrap it all together for me about Vontaze Burfict as a player.
Well, I've been watching him since ASU.
Mm-hmm.
Played against him. I just – it's frustrating because I want to root for the guy. He's a ASU guy, and I want to root for him, but you have to be smarter than that. You're on the field. Your team is counting on you. Not just your team, your coaches, the whole organization has a lot to gain or lose from how you handle yourself in that last series. So I think he starts it off on the wrong foot when he grabs a ball and runs out of the tunnel. You know, the game's not over. Anything can happen. And if they win, it's a good story and it's fun. Everybody's going to talk about it. But it's how you handle yourself in those situations that tells a lot about your character and how you're going to handle yourself when Joey Porter is out on the field jawing at you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I felt bad for Marvin Lewis, but at the same time, it's hard to keep your locker room in check when you have guys that don't have any respect for not only their teammates, but for the guys on the other side of the field.
The game.
Yeah. How the game is played. And so, I mean, they got what they deserved by not being able to control their emotions and handle themselves correctly.
3-game suspension enough?
I don't agree with that necessarily.
Really?
No.
What do you think is fair?
None? I didn't see a suspension for that. I mean, I know it's coming off the week prior with the huge fine that he got,
mm-hmm.
and it's a track record, it's a history.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see a 3-game suspension in this case. I mean, maybe a game or maybe a fine, maybe up the fine, but that's a huge burden. I mean, I don't agree with that necessarily.
Okay, before you get out of here, and we could do an hour easily. Before you get out of here, you heard the Jim Harbaugh story of recruiting. Okay, you have something like that when you were in your recruiting cycle?
Oh, I have a few of those stories.
Really? Coaches sleeping over?
Not sleeping over, but I remember coming home from a recruiting trip, going straight to basketball practice, and I had an ASU coach standing there in the locker room, the basketball locker room, waiting for me. As soon as I came out of the locker room, he's standing there, "Hey, Todd, how was your recruiting trip? Hope it wasn't as good as ours, you know?
Where did you go?
I'm like,
where did you visit?
Oh, I went to – that one was at BYU.
Okay.
And so that recruiting trip didn't go very well.
Obviously.
But the phone calls, the visits, there was a number of stories, and it's tough for a young high school kid to wrap their head around motives and who's out there looking out for you.
If somebody had slept on the floor next to you, you probably would have committed just out of feeling sorry that the guy.
No, I'd probably have been a little creeped out by that, you know. I probably would have been a little creeped out by that one. Let alone it's a kicker. I don't know. I mean, who's sleeping over at a kicker's house?
And if I'm Penn State.
We all know that kickers are a little bit off. So.
Well, and if I'm Penn State, if I'm James Franklin.
So is Harbaugh. So we'll,
right. The head coach at Penn State, I'm there in my pajamas as well. I'm standing there right there with a little nightcap on saying, oh, we'll just sleep together, the three of us.
Let's remember this is a kicker. I mean, I wouldn't waste a sleepover on a kicker.
There is Todd Heap in studio. Appreciate you coming up.
All right. Thanks, Red.
This is Todd Heap, and we're back with more after this timeout. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Let's get the insights now from Jake the Snake. Jake Plummer joins us, as always, via Skype from his home just outside of Boulder, Colorado, Cardinals and the Green Bay Packers. All right. So the Cardinals are favorites to win the Super Bowl, according to Vegas. As we come down the home stretch, do you buy into that as you look at Arizona?
Yeah, I don't see why not. At this point, it's a wide open race, I think, across the board. People still want to discount Carolina going 15-1. That's pretty impressive schedule strength or whatever they want to put to give an excuse to still bash them. They're 15-1, and that's not easy to do. So they're a really quality team that I would be hard-pressed to say wouldn't be the favorite right now in the NFC, but Arizona has proven that they can play with anybody. I think that Carson's playing extremely well. That offense is finding new guys each week. You know, David Johnson's a guy who's going to do some great things running the ball and out of the backfield. And the way they stretch the field, he's going to be a huge part of that offense, a big weapon. But don't discount the defense. I think that's where the key to this team's success is that defense, how well they're playing. Aaron Rodgers, to me, this year hasn't looked as comfortable as he has in the past. He's good when it's, you know, five hit and throw, you know, three steps hit and throw. But when he's got to be back there going through reads, he doesn't look real comfortable. Like, he's almost scared to get hit. And I know that that defense is going to get after him. I went over to the facility actually earlier this week and saw some guys getting treatment and a lot of guys working out, getting ready, you know, with that feeling. Here it goes, start of the second season. And I think that front that they have, the defense is going to get after Aaron Rodgers. So I wouldn't doubt that the Cardinals could do some big things, but not easy this time of year. It all comes down to playmakers and taking advantage of those opportunistic moments.
Okay, you made me think of a whole bunch of things here, so let's just go through them one by one. Carson Palmer's only had a couple of playoff games. It's been years since he's been in the postseason. I asked Steve Keim about this. Bruce Arians talked about it. How about from your view, can a quarterback get too geeked up into a playoff game?
They can, but if you look at Carson Palmer, he looks the same whether it's the preseason game or late in the year. He just has a real calm, cool demeanor, the way he you know, approaches not just the game but life. And I think that the guys around him, you know, from what I'm hearing and reading, I don't know Carson that well, but times I've met him and seen him, he's just a real low-key guy that goes about his business, and he's very relatable to the whole team. Some quotes I've read where, you know, he doesn't have a personal office here at the facility. He's just one of the guys that is here. He's part of the team, and I think that's going to go a long ways for him when he's preparing to go into the playoffs for only, I guess, the third time. You said that's pretty long career to not see the playoffs very much. So I know he's going to be excited. I don't think he's going to be, you know, over anxious or anything like that. He's just going to go and take advantage of this opportunity and lead this team. He knows that the pieces are all in place. He's got to steer it and make some good big throws, get the ball into the hands of those guys that can make plays. But I think he's the perfect guy to lead this team right now. And, you know, bumping into Mike Bidwell a few times, it was pretty exciting just to see, you know, how this organization is functioning, how well it works now back compared when we were there, you know, going to the championship game at the stadium out there. Things are moving up for this franchise. You know, they were a losing franchise for so many years that now they're expected to win. So that's the big change that I see is more fans expect them to win now rather than, ooh, do you think they might win? Or should I wear my cheese head to the game? Now, these fans are buying in now. They get it. They know that there's players out there that can win on Sundays, and they see this as a great opportunity with a team that's pretty healthy.
Jake, when you beat a team 38-8 the last time, and it was just 3 weeks ago, who has the advantage in the rematch? Is it the team that got the beat down, or is it the team that said, we have already drilled these guys once? Who has the advantage when a team meets so quickly after they were drilled?
It's hard to say. You know, I mean, every player has a different mindset going into a game, and that's where, you know, if you can buy into the head coach, which I believe Bruce Arians has his guys believing, that if you just do what he and the coaching staff, you know, presents to them, that good things will happen. And, you know, you can't think about what happened weeks back. It's a different, whole different ball game now, because players know that, you know, you lose, you go home, you win, you go on. And there's even some players, people forget that, you know, Carson Palmer, for all the money, signed a $50 million contract. There's guys on the team that don't make that money that get a playoff bonus that can be huge for their family, for their extended families, for whatever. So there's a lot of motivation going into this and a lot of thought about winning, not about what you did to a team weeks prior, but about winning right now. And the other side of it, when you get beat like that, it you know, puts up your hackles. You got to come in there. You got a little chip on your shoulder, a little something to prove. And when you're playing at home, I always, you know, say you sometimes can feel a little comfortable. You know, you got all your comforts. You stay at home. You drive your car to the game. You got all these little comforts you're used to. But you have to keep that mental edge that it's still you against the team in front of you, and that no one else is there, that you're not at home, that you have to be you and those 53 other guys on the field have to band together and get ready for anything that may present itself.
Talking with Jake Plummer, Panthers Seahawks. Got a thumbnail on that?
Man, that's going to be a fun game to watch. I think two of the funnest, for me, the most fun QBs in the league to watch, Cam Newton and Russell Wilson, guys that just have had outstanding seasons. You know, not quite the numbers that Carson Palmer has had, but, you know, throwing the ball, running the ball, extending plays, being the catalyst on their team that people lean on when things get tight. They both stepped up in huge ways. It's going to be a really physical game, especially since Carolina, you know, came and stole that one in Seattle earlier in the year. That was a heck of a game by Cam Newton, kind of his awakening, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But both teams are confident. Both teams play well together. Both teams play hard for each other. It's going to be a hard one to pick a winner there. I'm just going to be excited to watch both those teams play and watch those two quarterbacks just make plays that you rarely get to see on a Sunday.
How do you see the AFC side shaping up in all this? It's pretty easy to say the Patriots never lose at home. Big Ben's hurt with the Steelers. I think that game's maybe closer than what people think, although the Steelers give up a lot of yards. What's your view of the AFC games?
It's wide open, I think. I think Kansas City's a team that I think it's a 10 straight now that they've won. I may be off there, but they're hot. They're confident. And Alex Smith is throwing the ball down the field. He's not scared to do that. He's making big plays down the field. He made some big plays with his legs. A lot of people don't know. I think he was third in the league rushing for quarterbacks. So he's going to make a lot of big plays that people aren't expecting, that are going to extend drives, also similar to Russell Wilson and Cam Newton, where you don't expect that out of Alex Smith. So he's going to be a big part of this. And I think that they're confident enough to go in and beat New England. New England's had all the been banged up and receiver problems. But I sure hope Kansas City, and as well coached as they are with Andy Reid, can go in there and find a way to win. Now on the other side, with Big Ben having a banged up shoulder, that can be, work two ways. Either he's a little tentative and he gets hurt again. Hopefully he doesn't, because that could be pretty severe on his shoulder. Or he can hone in, and if he plays, play even better. Because when you have an injury, you tend to get even more focused in on making sure the rest of your body's working and making sure that you do everything possible. And that injury can kind of sharpen your skills a little bit. And for him, that's scary, especially against Denver, the way he lit them up earlier in the year. But Denver's getting back at full strength with their defense, and their defense is really, really good. And I'm going to give the thumb, I'm going to lean on the Broncos to be a little bit favored in that one. And I'm thinking Kansas City's going to surprise everybody and come out of Foxborough with a W.
Good stuff there. Hey, before you go, Vontaze Burfict, where do you come down on the 3-game suspension? His style of play, is there a place for it in the NFL? Everybody's piled on him this week. I haven't heard anybody that said there is no place other than Deion Sanders tried to make excuses, I thought, for his cheap shot hit. What was your view of Burfict and the suspension?
It's hard because he's such a great player. He makes amazing plays. He's a force on defense. Yet when you watch him, he just does, some silly things. And, it's hard to say what's going through his mind at that point. He's a competitor. He plays with passion. I think he doesn't have that muffler or carburetor, whatever you want to call it, to shut down at times when it's intense. And this is an intense, violent game. And I'm sure we don't see the other side of it, where guys might be, instigating and saying things to him. And you can't let what people say bother you. But he's an intense competitor, and I feel bad for him that went down. But it was a dirty play. And I'm more or less shocked at, Pac-Man Jones saying that Antonio Brown was faking. Because when you call out a man like that, especially one of the probably the best receiver in the NFL, and try to claim that he's faking on your own account, that makes me question this dude. I really stay far away from guys like that, because they're insane. They don't listen. They can't contemplate reality. He was knocked out, if you saw that. So I hope Antonio Brown is going to be okay. Burfict's going to be all right. There's going to be a place for him in the league because he's such a great player. But there is no place for those kind of hits like that. He could have pulled off. He could have avoided that, or maybe hit him but not in the head. Sad to see, because Cincinnati was a team poised to make some noise in the AFC. Now they're sitting at home because of a poor decision by a player that's one of their key players.
One other thing, and I promise I'll let you go off this. Hugh Jackson gets the Browns job. It's the hiring season. You've always had high regard for Hugh. I think I asked you this last year. Are you getting the itch yet to get into the coaching ranks? Or are you just having a good time chasing your little ones around still?
I have no desire to get into the coaching ranks. It's not part of my makeup right now to be fully ingrained in that. Now Hugh would be a guy I would love to be on his staff. I think he's going to do some good things there in Cleveland. Everything's stacked against him, the history of that organization. I'm excited because I think he is the kind of coach, like he did with me back at ASU. He was able to help me learn that position and work on my drop and consistency in my drop and analyzing defenses and generating some pop with my back leg and throwing. I mean, he was a really, really astute quarterback coach. And I think if anybody can go in and take Johnny Manziel, a kid that I would love to see have some guys put around him and have a chance to play, I think it could be Hugh Jackson. Now, he might go ahead and cut Manziel tomorrow. I don't know. But if anybody could get it done, I think it could be Hugh. He was doing great things in Cincy, and I think he's very much a deserving candidate to take over Cleveland and hopefully get them to win some games.
Could you help fix Manziel if you were asked? Could you help him, you think?
I don't know if he needs fixed. I think he just needs, you know, the right people around him. He's a kid that likes to live life to the fullest, and sometimes coaches will want to, you know, put a damper on that and curtail that because it's, you know, the way to make it in the league. Well, Tom Brady doesn't go home every night and read his Bible and go to bed, and neither does Drew Brees, neither does Eli Manning, neither does Peyton Manning. I mean, these guys live life, but they know how to manage it. And I think he's just a young kid that needs a little help in that regards. Go do your thing, be who you are, but manage it. Know that you're going to get attention for whatever you do. Part of me thinks he loves that attention. So how do you get that out of him? I don't know. But I've had a lot of young quarterbacks. Bradley Van Pelt was one who I encouraged to be himself. And you know, maybe he didn't make the league because of me, but at least he's now still himself. He was true to himself, and he still is BVP. Manziel just needs the right guys around him, I think, and I think that we can see some good things come out of that.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time. As always, enjoy the games this weekend. Jake, thanks.
Hey, thank you, Brad. You guys have a good week.
Now, as we move closer to the big game on Saturday night, Jimmy Vaccaro, nearly 40 years, Vegas bookmaker, now South Point Casino Resort odds maker, inside the numbers, Cardinals Saturday night. People tell me I can't wait to hear, Brad, what Jimmy has to say. I'm hearing it all around Arizona. Jimmy, what do you have to say about the game Saturday night?
Well, obviously, it's going to be a little bit of a rematch if you had a month ago, but I don't think it'll be that big of a decision when it comes down to it. I can tell you, Brad, you are the biggest favorite of the weekend. The Arizona Cardinals are a 7-point favorite over the Packers. This game 3 weeks ago was Arizona opened a 4-point favorite, closed 6. A lot of money on the Cardinals, but a little different story now. The Packers aren't the same team. Naturally, you got your nick of injuries also, but barring Roethlisberger playing or not playing, you will be the biggest favorite over the divisional around the playoff weekend.
And the Arizona Cardinals are favored to win the Super Bowl in Vegas now, Jimmy. Is that how that stands?
Yeah, it's really close. It's so close. I have the Patriots, the Cardinals, and the Panthers, you know, a whisper apart from right now. I would be the favorite. Seattle in there, but it's still the Patriots, the Cardinals, and the Panthers. Now, it's very apparent that, the Cardinals are good. You're getting better. We've taken a lot of money on them in the last week and a half. When I say a lot, it's been spread out pretty good, but a little more money on Arizona. So it's definitely one of the favorites, and people are falling in love with it. There is a little 7-15, which in my racket says there's been a little bit more money bet on the -7. The Packers, you saw what happened last week, down 11-0, but Rodgers pulled everything together, and they beat maybe a team that shouldn't have been there, like a lot of people had said, as the Texans were also. But right now, the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks are gathering the most attention, but so much can happen, Brad, between now and 48 hours.
Jimmy Vaccaro with us. Seattle and Carolina, what's the view in Vegas?
We opened against Carolina, 3-point favorite. Crush of money early on Seattle. So everybody in town went to 2.5. Now there's been a lot of buyback on Carolina. I think you'll see this game fluctuate between 2.5 and 3 the entire weekend. I couldn't tell you who's going to win there if you asked me 50 times. Seattle last week, you know, we saw what happened in the Freezer Bowl. Wilson made the one huge play that took them back from a 9-0 deficit to end up winning the game in one of the most unreasonable fashions you would ever see. But that's the way the playoffs are. You know, one play is very apparent. You saw the blow up of the Bengals late in the game. So I can't tell you anything more than what everybody's seen. I can tell you this, my friend, with like last week with the 2 games Saturday and the 2 on Sunday, people bet just the same amount of money as they would if it was a full schedule. All that they do is simply bet more money on the 2 games as opposed to the 10 that you see on Sunday morning. So it's raucous, it's crazy, it's great. And I like it when you have teams that are just so close. And naturally, even the biggest underdog not to win at all is the Packers at 15-1. which goes to show you maybe the final eight teams in there are the teams that should be in there.
Quick thumbnail, Kansas City, New England.
Kansas City, New England. New England, 5-point favorite. There was early money on the Chiefs. Thought it would be the other way around. Went down to 4.5, back to 5. I think you'll see the game close a little bit higher only because of the off week of the Patriots, and it looks like they're going to regain some people. But what can you say about the Chiefs? I know that the schedule hasn't been the greatest, and I know they went to a Texan team that wasn't ready, but I can tell you this. They're going to show up.
Pittsburgh, Denver, Roethlisberger up in the air about his status. Manning comes back. What do you make out of that one?
Well, it's 6.5 if Roethlisberger plays. If he does, it's a huge jump to around minus 11. Wow. Landry Jones, we saw it last week as the Willis Reed impression came in with Roethlisberger coming out of the tunnel. It was fairly obvious he couldn't throw the football. If he goes, you'll see 6.5 of Denver. If he doesn't, it's about a 5-point difference. And interesting, but we still don't know what shape Manning is in. So, again, you know, 4 great games this weekend, my friend.
Jimmy, appreciate the time and the insight as always. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Jimmy Vaccaro from Las Vegas. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on Sports360AZ.com right now. College, high school, pro, things around the Cardinals game, things around recruiting. Our recruiting roundup that Jared and Jason do every week. We're 3 weeks away from National Letter of Intent Day. And stories that we see around the state of Arizona, not just football. We're real football heavy right now, but there's quite a bit going on around our great state, opinions, blogs, and of course, content there for you to check out. Thanks for being with us.